You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Dr. Shelley Kerr, PastLifeLady.com, and you're listening to Ghosts in the Valley podcast.
Okay, today on the show, I'd like to welcome Aaron Hill from the Tennessee Shadow Chasers. You know, I'm going to jump right into it. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Thank you very much.
So, the Tennessee Shadow Chasers, I mean, that's a really cool name. I like that.
Yeah, we came up with that. We really were just friends that used to work together through a company that has since dissolved. And we were going to join in on the world's largest ghost hunt. So we had to have a team name. So we just threw some ideas out there and Tennessee Shadow Chasers kind of stuck. And then we became an official team and we haven't looked back.
So, I mean, who's the founder of the team?
It would be Audra Cook, myself, and Melissa Majors are the three original founders of the Tennessee Shadow Chasers.
And how many is on the team?
There's six of us.
Six, okay. Mm-hmm. I think you've got, what, five women and one guy?
Yes.
But yeah, that's pretty cool. I like that. You know, how long have you guys been investigating?
Well, as a team together, only for a few years, a couple years. Actually, about 3 years now. But some of us have been doing this since before it was a thing, before ghost hunting was an actual thing to do, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So, you know, you're in Tennessee. What part of Tennessee?
Well, so I am in Southeast Tennessee. Melissa is in Central Tennessee. And then everybody else is in Northeast Tennessee.
Because the reason I'm asking is, how far out do you travel to investigate?
Oh, we'll go wherever we need to.
So somebody calls you from Ohio, you're gonna come on up here?
Yeah, we'll go to Ohio. We'll go check it out.
I'm gonna put your links on the bottom of the episode, so if you guys do travel to,
we do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Long as hopefully somebody pays your travel expenses,
Yeah, right. Well, right. That doesn't always happen. Usually it's not.
Yeah, I know. I mean, if I was in this business for the money, man, I've been out 8 years ago, I started.
Yeah.
Because
the money comes out of the pocket. It usually doesn't go in the pocket.
Right. When I started out, I'm like, after five or six months in, I got like 50 downloads. I'm like, I don't know, man. It's like, is it about the downloads? Or because I had one person text me and says, that he travels, coast to coast and a trucker, and he really looks forward to my episode every Tuesday or every other Tuesday. And I hope you don't give it up like some of these other guys, you know. And that was like a little spark to me. Like, you know, it's not about the money, you know, because I always loved the paranormal one. And I could have picked anything. Like you guys, you could have picked anything.
Yeah.
And you picked the paranormal, you know, which is my next question, you know. Why the paranormal? I mean, what triggered you to go into that field?
Me personally, because I've always been part of the paranormal, because my first memory in life is actually my first paranormal experience at the age of 3. And there was, I thought it was my mom that would come into my bedroom every night, and she would rub my shoulders, shoulder to shoulder every night, because I was a little tummy sleeper. And it would irritate me, and I'd call her mom, because we didn't have night lights then. They just weren't a thing. It wasn't really, you know, in the 80s, nobody really cared. So there were no night lights. So I thought it was my mom, because the room was dark, and she never really spoke to me, but she was comforting. And years later, when we moved, when I was 6, this happened for 3 years, and I was the kid who would sleep under her bed or at the top of the stairs, because it would stop if I did that. When I was 6 years old and we moved to Minnesota, I asked my mom why she didn't come in the room and rub my back anymore. And I have two siblings, one's 4 years older, a brother, and a sister who's 7 years older. And my mom stopped, and it was during breakfast, and she said, "Terry, Travis, are you guys going in your sister's room? And were you rubbing on her back?" And of course, ew, gross, you know, because we were at that age. And my mom knew the house was haunted, so she put two and two together and figured out that woman was coming to visit me. So I think there was some sort of connection between me and her, because I called her mom, and she probably felt motherly. And I was just that weird kid growing up, and I kept it to myself, because I figured out real quick it wasn't the norm. Paranormal wasn't the normal thing to be into.
That's probably what back in the 80s, early 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why I wrote this book, you know. Yeah,
Spencer's Ghost. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's my story of growing up in a haunted house like yourself, you know. Mm-hmm. But I was like 12 years old. And like you said, you know, I kept it to myself. I was on another podcast, and she asked me, the host asked me, "What took you so long?" I mean, it took me 50 years to write this book. I mean, I'm like, well, you know, you're talking about the 80s. I'm talking about the early 1967. So there's no internet. There's no, you know, TikTok or, you know, Google. So who do you go to? So,
right.
And my parents didn't believe me, you know, and it was, thank God that my sister was involved in a lot of this, and my brother, and some friends, and some uncles, you know. But my mother, I always said this, you know, if it never happens to you, it's hard. It's sometimes hard to get a concept or grasp that, you know.
Yeah.
To be labeled crazy and
it just didn't interest me at that time, at that age, to be the weird kid. So I learned to adapt very quickly to not speak about it, not talk about that kind of stuff, because things like that have happened my entire life. Mm-hmm. It's not just that incident. So growing up, my entire life, I was running into the dead. So,
and even with your equipment you're using, I mean, it's people's going to question, you know, your spirit box or dowsing rod. He's moving them himself, or she is, you know. And so even with all the great equipment that's out now that wasn't there when I started investigating, you know, I just use a little infrared camera and the audio recorder, you know. And basically my best times was outside the equipment. It was, you know, being touched and
having the personal experiences.
That's exactly right. You know, and you can, and how do you,
you can't explain it.
It's a long time ago. I stopped doing that. I stopped trying to explain myself. You know, I put it out there. I said, "Here's my story." And if you believe it, that's cool. If you don't, have a good day. You know,
that's fine. Yeah.
You know,
if you don't, that's no problem. Not trying to push my beliefs on you at all. Mm-hmm. But who did you go? How were you supposed to know to reach out to people? Because when there was no internet and there were no apps and there were things like that didn't exist, you just had your community.
Yeah. I remember the one that's going to call the cops, you know, because the activity is so much. And it's, keep in mind, I'm 12 years old. The activity was so rampant up, and it always happened when my parents left. My sister, my brother was home alone. I was basically one in charge. And then it was so scary, you know, because you had the big, heavy footsteps coming up the steps, sort of pounding on the walls. The voices in your ear and all that, you know, and my sister, you know, I'm calling the cops, you know.
Yeah.
And she said, hold up on the middle of that number. And she goes, I'd hold up because what are you going to say? When they get here, what are you going to say?
Right.
That somebody that doesn't exist is upstairs.
Right.
So
it's like the cops can't help you in this situation.
Basically, I just kept it to myself. And even to this day, I have people say, did that really happen? Or, you know, well, yeah it did.
Yeah, it did.
And what's so cool about this podcast, like yourself, you know, I have all these guests that come on that I can relate to, you mm-hmm. know, or you can relate to somebody else that's on the show.
Yeah.
I know you're into spirits and ghosts and hauntings. Do you go outside of that? Are you more interested mainly in the spirits or anything else in the paranormal that triggers your interest, like UFOs or Bigfoot or, you know?
Nothing really triggers me as much as the paranormal. That's where my heart lies. Mm-hmm. For the simple fact that we can sit here and try to bridge the gap of communication between the living and dead. And that for one reason or another, it just makes death not seem so finite,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. to where you understand that there's things beyond us that we can see and that energy can never be destroyed. It just transforms. And so wherever we go, heaven, whatever anybody wants to call it, because I was raised a Methodist person mm-hmm. and I do believe in God. But that doesn't keep me from believing in the paranormal.
Yeah, I went to my first Reiki session like a couple of years ago with my sister. She's an ordained Methodist preacher.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I've converted over to my wife. I had become Catholic, so I thought it was kind of funny. We get you as being a Methodist, me a Catholic. We're going to a Reiki who's basically in spiritualism. So
I love Reiki. Yeah.
So I'm thinking, and she says, "What does it matter?" Because, you know, you know, really,
you can experience different things without meaning that it's without it being wrong or bad or taboo. You can, because in the paranormal field, there's so many different avenues that you can take, scientific avenues, spiritual avenues. And within each of those, just speaking of those two avenues you can take, there's so many different layers to each that it's like an endless playground.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. And if you open your mind and you keep an open mind, like a childlike mind, and you don't let your day taint that mind, gosh, you can really explore so much and just have a fun time doing it.
And it's so cool that, you know, I mean, like you're saying, yeah, spirits and ghosts and the afterlife. And so have you ever moved the spirit on?
I can't say for sure. I didn't. I mean, I've tried a couple of times, not in locations. I'm not so bold as to try for somebody who's been in a location for 100 years. I mean, mm-hmm. who am I to try to move this spirit on? In a couple of different instances in houses, I have tried. Whether it worked or not, I don't know. Nobody's reported anything happening since, so I can only assume, but.
I had a friend of mine, she gave me credit for helping move the spirit on. I don't know if I did or didn't, because she was saying there's a spirit in her house and she can't get rid of it. You know, well, what can I do? Mm-hmm. I said, well, you can mm-hmm. call people like psychic mediums or whoever to help you come in and they can cleanse your house or bless your house. Or
yeah.
I would just ask it to leave. If it's bothering you, just ask it to leave.
Yeah. Start off with that.
She was, oh, thank you. Thank God. It left and... you did. You were fantastic. You got. I don't think I did anything.
Yeah, I just gave you.
I just said ask it to leave. You know.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I think it's interesting. I don't know. Can anybody really for sure say that they've moved a spirit on?
I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying. So
yeah,
it's a tough question. But here's another one. Were you ever injured in an investigation?
Yes, by spirits. There are several occasions. I used to work for a ghost hunting company that people would buy tickets to, and we'd lead them through and, you know, a location and teach them how to use equipment. And this guy was there. We were at a hospital. And he said, come on, come get me, you know, drag me down the hallway. And I said, sir, that's not how we investigate. That's really disrespectful. We're not going to go down that road, please. And he kept saying, you know, drag me down the hall, rip me up the wall, bite me. And I was like, sir, we don't do this. I'm going to have to ask you to leave because we don't goad spirits like this. You need to stop. I ended up getting bit. I'm the one that got bit. So, and my favorite one is when I was at Missouri State Penitentiary and I was in the general population building and by myself. I was getting ready for an event and I was walking in and I was introducing myself to the spirits saying, you know, hey, I'm going to bring some friends in. Let's have a good time. Let's not hurt anybody. Well, I didn't stop to think that there was segregation at the time. I knew there was segregation, but it just didn't dawn on me. Mm-hmm. And I said, let's have a good night. And I went to go fist pump like this, but my fist went like this, which is a big difference from this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was where the white men were held and I was walking down the stairs and I got a boot to the back.
Mm.
I got kicked square in the back and almost got kicked down the steps. So that one was a little alarming to me. That one was pretty physical.
You know, in the 4 years I lived in that house, I can honestly say I was never attacked. But my uncles, my two of the uncles in my book, were really seriously attacked. So, matter of fact, I was saved a few times, you know, where I was falling off the ladder and it helped me from falling. My book's called Spencer's Ghost, The Guardian. So I always felt like, you know, the guardian, like I have a guardian. I couldn't tell you how many times in my life that I should be dead because I'm not. So, I mean, so
right?
I have faith there to where I believe there is a higher power. There has to be a God.
Yes.
There has to be.
Yeah.
And I don't talk religion on the show, but you know, you're talking about your faith. You know, you believe there's a God.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah.
Back in the day when they came up with the Ouija board, mm-hmm. They kind of more a spiritualism. I think that's when they started separating spiritualism and Christianity.
Yes, absolutely right.
Because I think there's a lot of people who wanted a closure for their Civil War ancestors, and you know, because they didn't have closure on death. Mm-hmm. And so, and I don't think the Ouija board was ever meant to be demonic or evil, until The Exorcist came out. You know, so
right, it got sensationalized.
I have a lot of guests on the show who won't touch a Ouija board, you know.
You know, I used to be that way with Ouija boards. I used to, because I had a really bad experience with one in a house when my parents were out of town and I had some friends over, you know, and we were playing the Ouija board at the kitchen and there was this crystal, it's called a Costa Boda crystal from Sweden. And it was a solid crystal candle holder. Well, there was just a little tea light candle in it. And this thing was big and it could have been something with the heat, with the tea light, but I highly doubt it because of what happened afterwards. This whole thing just cracked in the center. Everybody freaked out. They left me alone in the house. And so I go to bed and I wake up and there's this little boy in like clothes from like the, I would say the 1910s, 1920s. Mm-hmm. Standing there, and I didn't have any younger siblings, and he's standing right beside my bed, and I'm alone. I'm like, you know, just this teenager freaking out.
Yeah.
After that, I was like, I'm never going to play with one again. I'm done. And I didn't play with one for years until last year. And it's just, it's all about the intent.
Well, I had a Bishop Long was on my show a couple of years ago, and he was, I think the thing he was telling me, which I've had a lot of other guests say the same thing, it's people don't close out that session. Mm-hmm. Just like a seance. If you don't close out that session, you're asking for trouble.
Yeah.
That's why. If you're going to buy a Ouija board, if you're going to do it, get a new one. Because when you buy it from one from the garage sale or a flea market, you don't know how many people have left that open. So those spirits are still there.
Yep.
That was his philosophy on that, which I can agree with.
I can agree with that.
So of all the places you're investigating, you have a preference, like hotels, cemeteries, asylums, homes, businesses?
Well, you know, my team were ambassadors to the Euro Shrine. So of course that's our favorite place, and there's nothing like that place. It's not a hospital. It's not, it's specially curated to the paranormal.
Where's that at?
Items, and it's in Bristol, Tennessee.
Okay.
It's really cool. It's really, really cool. Yeah. It's really neat. You should look it up. The Urshrine. There's nothing like it. But besides that, hospitals and prisons hold to me the most intense energy. Because, I mean, in hospitals, life and death happens and everything in between, from stitches to a broken arm. So, and fears, you know, fears of needles. And I mean, there's so much that goes into that. And then prisons are so violent and they're so raw and emotions are so twisted there that those two places, I'm always guaranteed to get activity.
Yeah, you had mentioned before about, you know, energy, and that's what spirits are, is energy.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, if you're going to have a hospital with a lot of deaths,
yeah,
a lot of asylums, you know, same thing as people drop their loved one off and they never come back, you know. So a lot of these places don't even have a headstone for them.
Right. So
I know here in I'm in Northeast Ohio, but Hillview Manor is a place in mm-hmm. here in Pennsylvania. I don't know if you heard that.
Mm-hmm.
They have they buried a lot of people from that manor. In the fields behind the manor, and then a golf course bought that land.
Yeah.
Clearing out the body. It's on top of a lot of them bodies.
Oh my gosh.
So you're going to have, activity, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you're asking for it.
On a golf course?
On a golf course.
Oh, right. That's so, that's a terrible idea.
I didn't know that until I was there. And same thing with this lake. We have a lake, man-made lake near where I live, mm-hmm. 10 Mile Lake. And same thing. There's a couple small cemeteries that they never cleared the bodies out of and just put the water in there.
Yeah.
Night fishing. And you know, they always have some type of activity going on.
That's like Lake Lanier here in Tennessee. I think it's in Tennessee. Yeah. Lake Lanier, same thing. They flooded an entire town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe some of these hauntings is it the building or you think it's the land?
I think a lot of it's the land.
That's what I think. I think it's mm-hmm. all about land.
Yeah, I think a lot of time it's the land, because there's so much that happens, and the soil, I mean, absorbs so much.
Right, because, you know, because getting back to Native Americans, you know, because they've always honored the land.
Absolutely.
To my thinking is, like that house I was just talking about, growing up, I wrote the book about, mm-hmm. I could drive, the house burned down in 2005, so I can go by that house today,
mm-hmm.
and I'm only like maybe 15 miles from where I grew up, so...
Oh, Nate.
I go by that land, and I get that same freaking feeling. It's mm-hmm. it's just weird, because I think it is a land, because I've been told by an older
mm-hmm.
Native American that you know how they honor the every living thing has a spirit.
Yes.
So naturally, the ground is the oldest thing on this planet.
It is. Yeah. You had to be here first.
If you do like dowsing rods, so mm-hmm. you're actually, they'd use those for years. To find water under the ground, to find gas wells, to find electricity.
Yeah.
Because it's all energy. Yep. So a body's in energy as well.
100%.
So I would say the house. I just want to get your opinion on that also, you know.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, yeah, the house can be haunted because mm-hmm. people lived in the house, and if you know who's haunting a place. I lived in a house, gosh, 26 years ago. About 24 years ago with my husband and my then, he was a baby, a 6-month-old baby. He's 25 now, so. But.
Not a baby no more. He's still your baby, though.
He's still my baby. That's right. Absolutely. That it was haunted by the man and the woman of the house. That was a terrible experience. But yeah. It's awful when you it's okay when you go visit a haunted place, but when they live there with you, it's just not fun.
I went to one last year. A guy wanted me to be on a show, and I went to his house to check out the house, and it was extremely haunted. But they don't want to get rid of the spirits. I said, "Have you ever thought about removing them or asking them to leave?" And he says, "Absolutely not." Because they've been here a lot longer than we have.
Wow, that's kind of them.
So that was his idea. Now, his wife, I don't think, had the same idea. You know.
Probably not. Because it's really alarming when you're sitting there and you walk out of the kitchen and then you run into somebody who shouldn't physically be there.
So much stuff happened while I was in that house, you know, and it just took me back to my childhood, because I have early been, you know, some people that they've been haunted their whole life. So they leave one house and the next house is haunted. They leave there, they go, the other place is haunted. That wasn't my case. You know, my childhood, from 12 to 16 was my years. I've always had that fascination. So I did that and I went on to the podcast and I went on to the book, you know, because I just saw always fascinated, because once, like I said before, you know, once you see a ghost or a spirit, when I've seen her, as soon as we pull up in that driveway, I seen her in the window. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't see her again for another, stuff happened every day, but actually seeing her, no, not until 4 years later when we were moving out.
Really?
So, yeah, right. So, I mean, and there was more than one ghost in the house, which I found out later, you know, but the girl was actually younger, like my age. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why we kind of related so well, even with my sister.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's only a year younger than me. So, but my brother was smaller, so he can't remember too much. But the it was extremely active. So I understand when people come on my show and they says, "You're not going to believe this." Well, I do believe you, you know, because
yeah, you'd be surprised.
I've never seen a UFO. I've never seen a Bigfoot. I've never seen an alien. But that doesn't mean I don't believe in them. How can I tell you that, you know, Bigfoot doesn't exist? You could tell me the ghosts don't exist. You know,
that's
you,
right.
Just all in your head. You know, you made that up. It's a light going down the street. It's a car. It's a, you know, there's always, and I don't mind that you're trying to debunk the.
Oh no, that's important. Debunking is huge.
You want to debunk it, you know.
Yes. Yeah. You want, I mean, on Tennessee Shadow Chasers, we will sit there and try, if something significant happens, we will stop the investigation and we will try to break this down and we will try to figure out every which way that something could have happened in that moment. We'll spend 30, 40 minutes on it if we need to. We were at the Euro Shrine and we were positive we caught something coming out of a mirror. I mean, we were to the point where we were nauseous, because it looked like it was an evil critter, you know? So we were hoping it wasn't going to be real. Well, come to find out, it was not real. It took us 45 minutes to debunk this, but damn it, we figured it out. And I have to say, we were very relieved when we found out that it was not real, that it was just the trick of an eye. And there was a crystal hanging down from a light fixture that it just hit the right moment, you know? Mm-hmm. So debunking is very important.
And Catholic priests been doing that for years and on before they do it, like an exorcism. Mm-hmm. They're going to debunk that thing being demonic, because you could be schizophrenia, could be mental health, could be a number of things. So you want to rule all that out.
Yes.
You know, I love to have a Bishop Long on my show, because he was he used to be a Roman Catholic. Now he's for the old Catholic order, you know. And but who do you think calls him for every exorcism? The Roman Catholic Church.
Do they really?
Yes. So many things in the paranormal. Because to me, the paranormal is the unexplained. So how, like, you cannot explain Bigfoot. I mean, how much you try. You haven't found the body of Bigfoot, but you found footprints. You can't explain it. UFOs, but now our government's even saying they exist. They're out there.
Right.
I mean, there's so many things. I mean, and I learn on the show all the time. I just talked to a guest the other day. We got into a really deep subject, and I love stuff that make you think, you know, like spirits, like you're talking about a trapped spirit. Mm-hmm. A trapped spirit could be very dangerous. So that doesn't mean it's demonic. It's almost like tapping into a gas well. What do you think is going to happen? It's going to explode.
It's going to explode. Yep.
And I could have talked for hours with her, you know, and it was like, I love things that really make me think, or something I didn't hear before or didn't know about.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
Have you heard about the white-eyed kids? You know, get the black-eyed kids.
Never heard of the white-eyed kids.
I just found that out this past year. You know, there are white-eyed kids. So,
really? That's crazy.
I looked that up. It's pretty, it's interesting.
I'm going to have to check that out. Yeah.
Yeah, there's so much that gets your mind. Have you watched The Last of Us?
Yes.
With the fungus and all that.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, with the clickers and the, yeah.
And they always said, and I got on some topic with somebody who was on the show before, and they thought, oh, that was just malarkey, you know, said that it's made up, you know, that's not going to happen. Well, I came across a story yesterday. It was on
oh, no.
the Puss K caterpillar. It's a really small white, look really, it's kind of cute little white furry little thing.
Yeah. But
it's got these little spikes on the back. So if you touch it, it's poisonous. They're deadly, and they're in the United States. And they grew up to be, they turn into a southern flannel moth.
Had a lovely name.
and they evolved off of eating what? Fungi from the mushroom.
Oh, boy.
So what's that get you thinking about? You know, maybe.
Yeah.
How do they evolve from a fungi? Yeah, yeah.
Well, because that's what that Last of Us is about. Is about the fungus.
Right.
And it infects everybody.
Right.
And they turn to be like clicking, like, oh, these terrible critters.
So have you ever had an investigation where you just couldn't sleep at night? It bothered you so much.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I had a home investigation. We had a home investigation, the team did. And there was a child next to this man. And she was not, you know, she was a passed away child. She was a spirit. And he, for the life of, he just couldn't, we're actually going back here soon. He didn't know who this child was. And it was scary. I mean, because there's this kid next to him that's saying, I'm next to you. He just kept saying, I don't know any dead children. So that bothered me. And then all of a sudden his cat starts projectile vomiting everywhere. And I was like, hey, your cat's vomiting. And I guess he didn't hear me, and I kept saying, hey, your cat's projectile vomiting. And he was like, oh no, I'm sure it's okay. It was just the timing of it all. Between this child being next to him, him being adamant that he has nothing to do with any child. But this child's right next to him and this cat vomiting. And it was just, there was a woman that was there that night that half of the team, when we walked in, half of us saw her as younger. The other half saw her as like 20, 30 years older. And then at the end of the night, she comes back inside and it swapped to where those of us who saw her as younger now see her as older and vice versa.
Wow.
And it messed me up to where I just thought something. So we're going back, and it's been a year and a half, 2 years since we've been there. So we're going back and we're going to do a more in-depth investigation. But it was the weirdest thing. Nothing sat right. It was just, I couldn't put my finger on it. It was very uncomfortable. And I just couldn't sleep for about 2 nights, 3 nights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sleep was elusive to me.
Does everybody on your team have a different talent, or they bring something else to the table?
We all bring different things to the table. I'm from scientific to spiritually. I mean, it's everything in between. And that's what makes us tick. That's what makes us a good team, because we all do bring something completely different to the table. And we're all very honest and truthful in what we bring to the table. So it's very nice and refreshing, because you have to trust when you're with people, you're really trusting them with your lives, because you're going into these places that there might be homeless, or there might be animals, or
mm-hmm. you know, critters.
Critters. You might get hurt.
Right.
It might be dangerous.
Right.
You know, so you gotta be able to trust these people with your life. So I have the team that I am on. I have all the faith in the world in them. I trust them with my life, every single one of them. So we're all very good friends.
That's good.
Yeah.
What do you have coming up for this year?
Oh gosh. Let's see. We're going to Lynchburg. We're going back to Brushy. We've already been to Brushy once this year. We're going back again. We're doing a river house, the house investigation. Oh my gosh. There's so many things. Bleckley County Jail. We're doing Bleckley County Jail down in Georgia. And then, of course, the Year of Shrine, we're hosting events, or we, you know, rent Year of Shrine out. So we're busy with that as well. So we've got a lot going on. A lot. I can't believe we're already halfway through the year.
Right.
Oh, the older we get, the faster time goes. That's not okay.
Right. Well, I'm going to put your links on the bottom of this episode. And where can people contact you at?
The easiest two places is Facebook and WhatsApp.
Okay. I'll put those links at the bottom. And,
yeah, those are the two that somebody's always available all the time. It might take us 30 minutes to get back to you, but generally within 30 minutes, you're going to have contact with one of us.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and it's been my pleasure. I'd like to talk to you again. Yeah.
Thank you. It was great.
Yeah. And I'll like to talk to you again and bring your team on.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to. I'd love to get the whole team on there.
That'd be cool. Yeah. All right. Thank you, man. Thank you.
You got it. I'll talk to you later. Bye, Al.
Thank you, Erin Hill, for that great interview. Erin's going to come back on with the rest of her team, the Tennessee Shadow Chasers. I wanted to share a book review from my book, Spencer's Ghost. The review was done by newinbooks.com. Spine-tingling, heartfelt, and laced with unexpected humor, Spencer's Ghost, The Guardian, is a captivating coming-of-age ghost story that blends real-life mystery with supernatural intrigue, proving that sometimes the most unforgettable friendships are the ones that reach across worlds.